It's really difficult when you're thinking, right, well, next week I've got to do the Sunday talk, and so you pray about it and you seek God on it and you just say, well, what is it? Bless you. Goodness, it knocked me off my feet. So you go through this process, and it's a process of some angst in that, you know, you think, well, I don't want to get it wrong, and if I get it wrong, whatever. Anyway, I had a thought in my head at the beginning of the week, and I thought, I don't think it's that, because we've done that before. or it's been covered before, so I'm not sure that that's it. Anyway, later on in the week, we're doing some prayer, and I had two other people say, I feel God is saying this, and I thought, oh, that matches in with my earlier thought. And then another confirmation later is when Cheryl said, have you read that about that? And I thought, oh, here we go. So clearly I was on the right track. So it wasn't quite necessarily what I planned to do, but I really, you have to let God take charge in these sorts of things. Anyway, we're here. So I'm going to try and be obedient, but come in from a different angle from the angle that we've come from it before. Anyway, you are a body part. You may not realise that. You might actually think you're a whole body, but you're not. You're a part of a body, at least according to Jesus. You were formed for a purpose. You were not an accident. Even if you were an accident in the eyes of your parents, actually you weren't. You were always planned, and you're planned by God. And we know this so well because we've heard it many times from Jeremiah, where God is speaking to Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. So before anything else, so even if you were an accident, if I can put it like that, actually, with God, you weren't an accident. You were purposed. Because what was true for Jeremiah is true for us. Before you were even a couple of cells in your mum's ovaries, is it ovaries or wombs? I never quite, it's all women's. Wombs! I don't know. What do ovaries do then?
One womb.
I don't know. Yes. Anyway, that wasn't an invitation to an open debate, to be fair, although it set you all off. Anyway, you might be sitting there thinking, and it might even be a subconscious thought, you might be there sitting there thinking, well, my life is just normal like everyone else's. There's nothing really to differentiate between my life and the life of my next door neighbour who doesn't know God, who's never heard of God or never wants to know anything about God. And the truth is, if you're thinking your life is the same as everyone else's, you are wrong. You are totally and utterly wrong. Because every single person on this planet, which is over 6 billion people on this planet, were born for a purpose. God had a purpose. Whether they hit that purpose or not, whether they ever come to fulfill that purpose or not, is another matter. The fact is, they were born for a purpose. Now, I said 6 billion people on this planet, but according to Cheryl last night, there's 27 billion people in slavery. So I'm thinking, hang on, suddenly we've grown. You said billion. I was listening, yeah. So, but it was just the billions coming out. But all of the 6 billion have a purpose on this planet. Now, you sort of know that, and you can agree with what I'm saying and say, yes, that's right, I have a purpose. But subconsciously, you might be thinking, yeah, but I'm just normal. But that's not the truth. Subconsciously, you might be thinking, yes, my life should be just the same as everyone else, except for I do the Christian thing, except for I go to church on Sundays, except for I come and join lots of lovely friends and we celebrate and worship together and that sort of thing. Subconsciously, you're thinking that, but that's not right. Your life is to be extraordinary. Now, look at that picture there. Isn't that wonderful? Lilies of the Valley. God artistically creates things to look beautiful. Lilies of the field. Oh, I don't know. Just lilies. Well, I don't know. Google said it was lilies, so I'm not going to argue with Google. They look like lilies, anyway. Okay. Scott prayed with me before, actually. He's very good of him. He comes up and says, do you need some prayer for the talk? Clearly I do. And he said, God, can I share this prayer? Where's he gone? He's gone. He said, God, anything that comes from you, help us to remember. Anything that comes from Mark, help us to forget. So, which means when I say, can you help stack the chairs? No, forget that. Can someone help wash up because John Starr's not here? No, forget that. So anyway, good prayer. I'm not sure he meant that, but anyway, that's how I took it. Anyway, when God made creation, including whatever those flowers are behind me, what is it called? Alpines. Well, I don't. Whatever they are, they're really, really nice. They're really nice. Anyway, so when God made the alpines, he made it good. In Genesis, when he said he created, he made it good. So God loves his creation. And actually, when you look at this time of year, you look at it, it's amazing, isn't it? Your gardens, if you have a garden, is probably blossoming. You've got daisies in the field. All the trees are coming back into life. And you realize that actually God this season is coming around and all that creation bursts forth again. And it's amazing. But he did make man, and that means man and woman, but he did make man as the pinnacle of that creation. And he gave man a purpose. He gave man a mission. And that mission was this. There you go, there it is. And you'll find it in Genesis, at the very beginning of Genesis, he says, be fruitful and multiply. That's the Japanese version I was reading earlier. Be fruitful, multiply. Oh, there's so much trouble. No, the vicar's here, for goodness sake. Oh, no. For goodness sake. It was a really... I didn't get to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, come on. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So that was the original purpose for mankind. So in other words, we were to plant stuff, farm stuff, manage stuff, run around naked and have babies. That was the Garden of Eden. That was what it was supposed to be turned into. But of course, you know, and man was supposed to live with God, a bit like the angels live with God. God would be walking in the garden, that actually we would meet God. If nothing had gone wrong, we would meet God. God would be there. There'd be no separation between us and God, and that'd be a wonderful place to be. So God had designed a lovely life for us all. No suffering, no death, no pain, just eating fruit and walking around in freedom. But we know it wasn't happy ever after, because we know about Adam's sin, we know about what went on there, and the law of God was broken and everything changed. The commandment was broken and suddenly we fell under the rule of law. So we went from being a friend of God to suddenly being not an enemy of God, but separated from God. And we fell under the rule of law. So the next part of the history of the world really then kicks in again with Israel. So after the breaking of that relationship with God, God decides that he's going to create a nation through which he's going to work. And that nation is called Israel. And it all comes out of a man called initially Abram, but then Abraham, as you'd know him, who was the father of the nation called Israel, father of the Jews. And that's how God revealed himself on earth through that people for the next 2,000 years. So Abraham to Jesus, 2,000 years. And during that 2,000 years, God is trying to make them a holy people. And sometimes that's successful and sometimes is dreadful. Sometimes they're with God, sometimes they turn away from God, a little bit like us in our faith life. Sometimes we're hot, sometimes we're cold. And that was the next story. So God staying with the people of Israel, 2,000 years, and then God says, at the very beginning of this, with Abraham, God says this. So Abraham hasn't yet had the first son who was going to be the, the first, if you like, person in the nation of Israel. And in Genesis 18 it says, "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him." So somehow Abraham was going to become this great and mighty nation, which was Israel, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. What is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Jesus would come out of Israel and there would be a blessing to all the nations. So the time of there would be a time where the time of the Jews had finished, and then it's a blessing to all nations. And of course we know that Jesus came 2,000 years later, and suddenly the message goes from Israel to the world. So the reconciliation of mankind was completed by Jesus with his work on the cross. We know it very well, the sacrifice, the resurrection, and we can be friends with God. We can receive his blessings. We are adopted into the family of God yet again. So we can come back to a good position with God, a good standing with God, where he is our loving Father and he receives us back into his kingdom. And this scripture here from Galatians is quoted by Paul after Jesus has come, and he says the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. That's just to ink in, and that's just to confirm that actually it was Jesus who was going to be blessing the nations, which all started with Abraham. So we're all blessed. We're sitting here today blessed through Israel via Jesus. And God has a new plan for us. So the old plan of being fruitful, multiplying, subduing, running around naked, eating fruit from the trees, and has actually gone now because there's a new plan. And this new plan involves, strangely, you. It involves you. And now what I'm trying to do is put your arrival on this planet in some sort of perspective. So your arrival on this planet was planned. So what's interesting actually, if you are a young earth creationalist like I am, if you go back the generations, count back the generations from Adam to Abraham 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus, 2,000 years. From Jesus to now, 2,000 years. Now, I've done my calculations thinking, when is God likely to finish the world, the new heaven, new earth? So I've done all the calculations, and I've worked out it's tomorrow, actually. I know. Why are you still here? We've got time to have fun. But isn't that extraordinary? We're at the end of the third part, aren't we, of that, if you take that. So, and I'm not saying that there's anything necessarily significant about that. I just think it's very interesting. So now is your time. You are planted now in God's big story at this time. In the time, if you like, of the Gentiles, the time where all nations have been blessed through Israel. You are planted at the third part of the third part of history. So remember this verse I put up earlier. This is the verse from Jeremiah. Remember that you were crafted and you were set apart for a specific purpose. God brought you into 2016 for a specific purpose, and he wants you to engage with your purpose. Now, like I said before, we can accept our purpose or not, but we have one anyway. Everyone on this planet has one. So the question is today and this morning, what is your purpose? What were you crafted to do? And hopefully we'll shed some light on that. So, you know the old mission about running around and having babies? Here's the new covenant purpose. This is called the Great Commission because Jesus joins us with this. So it's a commission as opposed to a mission. And it's found in Matthew 28. And he told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore," so it's always important when someone says therefore, what's the bit that goes before? Actually, authority is important in this. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So just breaking that down in just to a few words, it is Make disciples, baptize, and teach. That was the Great Commission. Does that make sense? Yes. Is anyone still here in the room? Yes. So here we have a new job. You look at those things. So you look at the things about making disciples, baptizing, teaching, and you think, well, how does that work out then? So what do I do to do the things that Jesus taught and to spread that teaching? Well, Jesus taught us, for example, to look after the poor and the needy. That was on his heart. So that's why last night we had an event to help those who are vulnerable and caught in trafficking and slavery and that type of thing, in order to do the teachings of Jesus, to do his commandments. He said, do those things. And so we did it last night. And that was part of the teaching. In the church baptizes, and hopefully we'll have some baptisms this summer in an outside venue that I've got to arrange with Phil at some point or other. And start making disciples. In other words, within the church, make those disciples. So yesterday with the A21 traffic, guess how much we made, by the way? This is the point we find out. How much? It's a very rough figure. How much? Who thinks we made £500? We have one vote for that. Higher, okay. Who thinks we made £1,000? Okay. Who thinks we made? I'm not as good as Paul at auctioneering, by the way. He was amazing last night. You've got a gift there. The gift of auctioneering. I didn't find it in the Bible.
I've got a big mouth.
That's what it is. Well, no. All right. Any advances over £1,000? What do you think?
£1,000,000!
Not quite. No, I think we need to come down a bit. Okay. £2,000 higher or lower? £3,000 higher or lower? We made probably the best part of £5,000. What about that? £5,000. Trying to do what Jesus taught us to do and have compassion on people and be able to enable those who are specialists in that area to release people from suffering, from human trafficking, trauma in their lives and a life of slavery, and make them safe and just, you know, do what and that was, and that's part of this Great Commission. So, guess how God wanted us to do this? He had a plan. And the plan was this. The way that God chose to deliver this mission of discipling, baptizing, and following his teaching was through the church. In other words, known as the body of Christ. I do not know any other plan God has in the Bible for pouring out his blessings into people all around us. It's just the body of Christ. The body of Christ is God's plan A. It's his plan B, it's his plan C, all the way to Z. It's the body of Christ that God wants to work through. And the church gets it wrong. Of course the church gets it wrong. It's full of people who make mistakes and things like that. But God doesn't give up on church. He's always working through church. He doesn't give up and say, you did it wrong, I've got another plan. His plan is always to come through the church. The church is known as the bride of Christ. It's the thing that Christ is going to marry. It's that important to God. And the church worldwide is called the body of Christ. And so there is the body of Christ, and there's all the people within the body, but probably more normally it looks something like that. There you go. That's some serious prayer going on there. Serious laying on of hands, isn't it? Eh? Look at that. I don't know what issue the guy had in the middle, but there's a lot of people praying for him. Actually, you need some more prayer, brother. So look at that. Anyway. Yeah, so it's the body of Christ. So that's the way that God is going to work on this planet through the church. So the Apostle Paul says, when you become a Christian, you automatically become a part of the body. Actually, you have no choice. You might think, I don't want to be a part of the body. It doesn't matter. You are a part of the body. You might be a dysfunctional part of the body. You might think, I never ever want to go to church. I never want to speak to another Christian. I'm never going to sing a worship song or anything like that. It doesn't matter. You are still a part of the body, one that's just not working very well. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the human body, this is Paul speaking, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. There's no opt-in or opt-out option. The body is it. You are baptized into a body, and that's it. So you are a body part, whether you like it or not. So which part of the body are you? So God has planned you. So he's planned you from the beginning of time. He's planned you. You're to be part of this body. He's planned a function for you to contribute to the body. Your purpose was to do something for the whole body. And God has gifted you to do it. He has gifted you in a way that you fit into the big jigsaw puzzle of the body, that you do your bit. So you have your specific purpose. And Paul gives us some examples of what those gifts are. He said, some are apostles, like church planters. Some are prophets, people who hear from God very clearly and speak out stuff. Some are teachers, as they stand up the front here and they teach stuff. Some have gifts of healing. Some have gifts of helping. Some guidance, people who are very good at giving guidance and discernment. And different types of tongues. But that's not the exhaustive list, because if you go to Romans, where Paul writes a very similar theme, he then talks about other things like encouraging, gifts of encouragement, gifts of giving generously, gifts of leadership, gifts, you know, of showing mercy. So there's a whole load of gifts there, and it's not exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination. So where have I gone? Why have I lost my thing? There you go. I do not have the gift of IT. Can I just say that? I don't have the gift of PowerPoint either, I don't think. But I would add to Paul's list, if I were to sort of, if I could add, if I was brave enough to add to that, I would say there'll be artistic gifts, there'll be musical gifts, gifts in strategic battle command. Actually, you do see these in the Bible. Gifts of physical strength. You look at Samson. Gifts of discernment. Gifts of oratory. Gifts of business acumen. If you have a gift of being a business person and you are really good at making money, then you've been given that gift, not necessarily so you can spend it all on yourself. God is saying, I've given you that gift so that you can give out that gift. So by all means, have a nice car and a nice house. That's fine. But actually, that gift is put in you for his purpose through his body. You could add today gifts in communication and networking, gifts of cooking, gifts of counseling, gifts in IT systems, which is these guys here. Gifts of acting, gifts of organization, gifts of gardening, gifts of languages, and all sorts of different gifts. So somehow you fit into the big picture with your gifts. And some of you in here will know what your gifts are. It's very clear to you what your gifts are because you excel in something. And some of you in here are not sure quite what your gifting is yet, because you haven't quite discovered it yet. Or some of you are gifted in one area, but actually you might be gifted in two areas. You may have more than one gifting. You might have three giftings or whatever. And some of them you haven't yet discovered. And God's desire is to draw these gifts out of you and me and use them for the body. So please make lots of money as a successful business person, because it's always appreciated. Well, at least the treasurer appreciates it anyway, so. But then there was this debate going on in the Corinthians church where people were saying, well, my gift is more important than you. So, you know, I could say, well, I'm a teacher. I'm up here and I'm teaching, and that's a big upfront role, and that's fantastic and that's really important. Except for someone's in the kitchen. I'm not sure who it is, but they're washing up. Well, that's also got to be done, isn't it? So which is more important? Whoever puts out the chairs, is that more important? Oh, that was me as well. That's my gift as well, putting out the chair. But anyway, essentially, every gift is valid. Every gift is valid. You know, you might cook sausages. That's a valid gift in the body of Christ. You might be just good at cooking. And so Paul addresses this, Corinthians, who are trying to say, well, these are more important than these, one, the rest of it. He addresses this and he says, but the body has different parts. Not just one part. If the foot says I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would it make it any less a part of a body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? He uses ridiculous language here, doesn't he? How would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. He's talking to us and saying, the part, he has put you where he wants you. He has put you here for now where he wants you, in this place, in this church. All gifts are valid. All those gifts are necessary. We can't all be teachers because we need those who prophesy as well. But you're here now, and God wants you to use your gift. Why do I keep doing this? There you go. There you go. Anyway, look, no buts in the crowd. So no one has to be a butt if you don't, you know. That's a terrible joke, isn't it? But anyway. What's that? Oh, goodness. We can't all, if someone's teaching and not using their eyes or whatever, you know, you don't want to just hear stuff. You actually need to listen as well. So, you know, us teachers like to talk a lot and that type of thing, but actually we've got to learn to listen too. God left you on earth for a purpose. Do it. And what I just propose to do now is just have a little exercise. Now, there will be scattered bits of paper and pens. You may want to use them. You may not want to use them. But what I propose to do is to get you into small huddle groups and just to start praying for each other. And the way that I would suggest you do it, and please, if the Spirit leads you somewhere else, then please go with the Holy Spirit, because Scott's already said if it's from me, then no one needs to listen. I would, first of all, we've got, I don't know, 15 minutes maybe. We've got as long as you want, really. But and just spend a few minutes with each person or with a few of the people in your huddle and pray to discern their gifts, or if their gifts are obvious, to increase their gifts. So if someone has a gift, pray for it to be increased, or if they haven't got a gift yet that's not very obvious, then pray that that will be worked out in their life. Or if they've got other gifts, you know, pray that they may realize even other gifts that they may have. Pray to discern the calling on their lives. So God, where are you leading me? Now God might be saying, I want you to leave Junction Church and go and join another church. No one's going to argue with that. If that's where God's leading, he wants to put you where you can use your gift. And that's fine. And we'll have a tearful goodbye and say, but actually what you'll be doing is stepping into your destiny. So if that is what God is calling, we've just got to be open to that and say, that's part of the body. We're part of the worldwide body of the church. Therefore, use your gift somewhere else. So pray to discern the calling on your lives. Do come and speak to us. If you feel that's the case, do come and have a word as well. Just so we can all make sure you're going in the right direction. Listen to what God may be saying. Just take a bit of time. We don't have to fill up the silence. We're always tempted when we pray that, oh, it's gone silent, I have to say something. Don't. Because we need to listen. We need to start. So, yes, by all means, speak stuff that God puts in your mind, on your heart, for this person that you're praying for. But actually, don't feel you need to fill up that gap. Just lay a hand on the person and just wait for God to speak. And he may speak you to you in various ways, and just be very open to that. So the paper is here in case you want to write something, whether you want to draw something. God might give you an image. It might be just an image of something. Then even if it doesn't make any sense to you, please speak it to the person, because if it doesn't make sense to you, it may mean sense to someone else. He might give you a Bible verse. He might give you a word or some words. He might give you a picture. It could be anything. It could be a song. It could be ABBA. It could be Voulez-Vous. And you think, why is the song Voulez-Vous going around in my head at this moment in time? Well, speak it out and then it can go. It might be God saying, take it now or leave it. So, you know. But you know, just so it may not make sense to you, and it doesn't have to make sense to you. But just speak it out. Just express it in some way. Write it down. If you don't want to speak it out, write it down on a piece of paper. Tear a bit of that paper off. Write it down. Give it to the person. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to make sense, but just do that. And then what we're asking for is that God will then come into this sort of atmosphere of prayer and start, by the Holy Spirit, pointing stuff out. Now, God, there's a reason that God has asked me to do this talk that has been confirmed at least four times this week. And it may be for one person in here, or it may be for a number of people in here. So I think this is a very worthwhile exercise to spend some time doing. What do you reckon? Yes? Okay. So find someone who is close to you. You don't have to like them. It doesn't matter. Just remember you're part of a body, so all bits need to function anyway. But find someone, and just in maybe groups of four or five or whatever, just spend some minutes just taking everyone in turn and just really just praying for them, meditating, just saying, God, you know, what do we want? And do pray for them. You can pray out loud as well. That's fine. But just do that. Okay, you ready? So I'm going to put you all on a timer. So this is like run around, if those of you remember run around, right? Get into a group. Go! I'll join the vicar's group because you get a bit more spiritual. The vicar's group. So, guys, you're going to be a group together? Yes? Well, Elaine, do you want to come into the vicar's group? Tommy, do you want to come this way or do you want to stay with them? Okay, before we start, can I just say a quick prayer to cover all of this and then we'll just crack on. Lord Jesus, we want to be open to your leading to us right now. We want to be open to how you guide our thoughts, how you guide the images in our head. Lord, we pray for words, we pray for pictures, we pray for songs, we pray for anything you give us. But Lord, we just want to be open for you pointing out stuff in our lives that you would use for your purposes in the body. So Lord Jesus, come now. Holy Spirit, come. Bring revelation amongst us and help us, Lord, just to be brave enough to be able to receive it and express it in Jesus' name. Amen.